From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, the Brexit vote may mean the UK is leaving the EU, but Alaska seafood is still headed there. Linda Benkin and Teresa Peterson have taken on new roles in fishery policy. And we meet the new ICER chief, coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by United Fishermen of Alaska, working to promote and protect Alaska's commercial fishing industry. Fisheries are a vital component of Alaska's social and economic well-being. You'll find member information and more at ufafish.org.
When United Kingdom citizens last week voted to leave the European Union, it sent shockwaves throughout the world's financial markets. And because of that, the pound sterling is weaker and the U.S. dollar is stronger. Good news if you want to buy a Cooper Mini. Bad news if you want to sell salmon to the Brits. Tyson Fick is ASME's spokesman in Juneau.
Anything that has a negative effect on currency values relative to the dollar is going to be very difficult for exports. It means that our trading partners over there with our largest traditional canned salmon market have less money to spend, and you know it's less valuable compared to our dollar, so it makes it pretty hard to have exports there.
Unlike some industries, though, ASME has not set up a base of operations in England to reach out to the rest of Europe, preferring instead to serve the continent from within the different countries.
In fact, some of our major partners are places like Germany. It's a huge customer, both for salmon, for smoking, as well as pollock. It's one of the largest pollock markets that we have.
Fick also said that the relationships ASME has developed over the years in Europe should see them through this latest economic bump in the road.
And the good news is that you know companies in individual countries in the EU as well as the UK have been partners of ours, and we've traded with them for many, many years, and we would expect those positive relationships to continue, regardless of what issues might be happening independently over there.
The British pound sterling is down nearly 27 cents against the dollar over the past 12 months, but 16 cents of that have come since last Thursday's Brexit vote.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
A longtime Sitka resident has been appointed to the six-member International Pacific Halibut Commission. Linda Benkin, whose name has been under consideration for the international panel for some time, was appointed on June 22nd, shortly after the previous Alaska representative was fined for overfishing. KCAW's Robert Woolsey tells us more.
Linda Benkin has been at the center of some of the most important decisions in groundfish policy in the North Pacific. During her 9 years on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, the regulatory body overseeing fishing in federal waters offshore of Alaska, she was instrumental in banning bottom trawling in Southeast, and she was an architect of individual fishing quotas for halibut and black cod. The International Pacific Halibut Commission sets harvest limits for commercial fishermen across the Gulf of Alaska. Her appointment to the IPHC comes at a time when that organization also is rethinking its long-standing management policies.
The IPHC is testing some different approaches right now to final decisions about managing halibut, or about the decision-making process, so providing a risk analysis decision-making table to the public and to the commissioners, and letting the commissioners understand where the certainty is, where the risks are, and make educated, informed decisions around that rather than the scientists saying, here's your numbers for setting the quota.
Benkin has been the executive director of the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association in Sitka for most of its history. She's been a strong proponent of science-based management, but she also understands that the IPHC is where science and politics sometimes meet.
It's important to follow the science and err on the side of conservation. There's certainly been frustration and our area, southeast, that quotas have been set significantly over recommended levels for British Columbia in our by our neighbors there, while the commissioners have set much more conservative quotas in this area, despite the fact that all the indicators of stack recovery are strongest here.
Benkin is now one of six commissioners, three from the U.S., three from Canada, who determine the annual halibut harvest. They have an extensive organization and research staff behind them, based at the University of Washington in Seattle. Benkin says the appointment comes with the obligation to take a broad view of the industry and of halibut fishing across the Gulf and not just off of Southeast Alaska. Nevertheless, she gave this interview while running her boat out to go longlining for black cod. Becoming a commissioner will not erase who she is.
I come from a fishing science background. I've had the luck to fish from the Gulf up to the Bering Sea, certainly more knowledgeable about this area because of fishing here longer, committed to the whole industry and the resource and small boats. So, that's the perspective I think I bring to the process.
Benkin's appointment is considered interim until it is actually confirmed by the sitting U.S. president, a process that has no predictable timeline. In the meantime, Benkin will enjoy full powers of a commissioner. The IPHC has been in the news recently, not all of it good. Benkin's predecessor, Jeff Kaufman, resigned his appointment after agreeing to pay a shared fine of $49,000 with two colleagues for overfishing halibut in 2012. The fine was levied by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Office of Law Enforcement. Kaufman and the two other men reportedly exceeded their combined quota by 10,000 pounds. Kaufman is a resident of Wasilla. He is the vice president of the Central Bering Sea Fishermen's Association. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
You're listening to the Alaska Fisheries Report. Hear the show online anytime at kmxt.org.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
The U.S. Secretary of Commerce announced Monday the appointment of 19 new and returning members to the eight regional fishery management councils around the country that advise the National Marine Fisheries Service. In Alaska, those appointments to the North Pacific Fishery Management Council went to Buck Lakaitis of Homer and Teresa Peterson of Kodiak. Peterson had previously served for 7 years on the council's advisory panel.
So while serving on the advisory panel has been, a great opportunity and a great opportunity to learn more about the process, we were in a little bit easier position because you're merely, advising the council. But the council is the one making, the official recommendation on the management system. And so it's kind of, I guess, one person who I know and respect in this process referred to it as really moving into the big leagues and playing at a whole nother level in the policy arena.
Peterson's nomination by Governor Bill Walker, along with the governor's selection of his Fish and Game Commissioner and other actions, has signaled a shift somewhat away from the rush towards privatizing fishery stocks, as was done a decade ago with crab in the Bering Sea.
Catch shares have benefited the resource and a variety of user groups in many very beneficial ways. But as we look into the future of the Gulf of Alaska, I think there's a general sense of values and a mindset to try to move forward in a way that captures the experiences from past catch shares and past management designs, that moves into a more forward-looking approach that not only provides the tools and addresses ideally many of the, the bycatch concerns in the Gulf of Alaska, but also serves to provide opportunity for the future.
The opportunities for future fishermen to enter the industry is an important theme for Peterson, one that she has repeated many times. But being for opportunities doesn't mean Peterson is not sympathetic to fisheries in the Gulf that see privatization as the path to success.
you know, the trawl fleet, and particularly in the Gulf, has really been struggling to maintain a viable industry, and then in are absolutely under a lot of pressure with the bycatch reductions that are in place. And so it's going to be important to everybody to work together and find that middle ground and move a new program forward that, you know, will work for, again, for the present and also for the future.
Peterson came to Alaska in 1983 and took a job in a cannery, only to be almost immediately lured into commercial fishing. In the last 33 years, she's participated in numerous fisheries, bought her own fishing vessel, the Patricia Sue, and has a set net site on Kodiak Island near Alatak Bay.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The Institute of Social and Economic Research at the University of Alaska Anchorage has a new leader. Dr. Ralph Townsend was named the new director last week. He'll be overseeing what he calls a broad agenda, researching and developing policy in a variety of areas for the state of Alaska.
Natural resources, and in particular fisheries, is the one that I'm sure is of great interest to your listeners. But it also does work on educational policy, child care policy, and recently has had a unit that does behavioral psychology. So it's a pretty broad scope of activities in the social sciences. And ICER is unique in that there really isn't another unit that provides that scope of services in Alaska.
A native of Maine, Townsend comes from Minnesota, most recently where he was the dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences at Winona State University. He also worked internationally, serving as chief economist for the Ministry of Fisheries in New Zealand. He has some experience in Alaska as well.
I've done a couple of projects with ICER in the past, where we were looking at fisheries self-governance, an issue that has been of interest in Alaska because of the pollock co-ops and the other co-ops that have been operating, and which are an interest of mine. I also did a project for the National Marine Fisheries Service years and years ago when I spent a summer in Juneau.
Townsend's extensive resume might have led him to any number of other positions doing research and helping develop policy, but Alaska presented the best combination of opportunities.
I've always done research in public policy, and an opportunity to come back to research and public service touched my heart, I guess we can say. Alaska is a drop-dead beautiful state, and finally on the list, my daughter is a guide up in Palmer, Alaska, one step closer to her. No one of those alone would have done it, but collectively they convinced my wife and I that we should come to Alaska and take on this new opportunity.
Townsend takes over the position from a retiring Gunnar Knapp, who has held the post since 2013.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by commercial fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KCAW's Robert Woolsey in Sitka and KDLG's Shaylin Cochran in Dillingham. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.